Welcome to Healthcare Du Jour, where we dish up and digest the latest in healthcare. For the next 30 minutes, sit back as we bring you insight, commentary, and discussion on trending topics to the table, all expertly served up by our host and his guests. Healthcare Du Jour is brought to you by High-Tech Answers and Healthcare Now Radio, part of the Answers Media Network, and is sponsored by the Law Offices of Myrick O'Connell. Now here is your host, Matt Fisher.
Welcome back, and thank you for joining as we dive into the hottest topics in healthcare. I'm your host, Matt Fisher. On the menu today is Sunny Tara, Chairman and Chief Executive Officer at CareCognetics. Welcome, Sunny.
Thank you, Matt, for having me.
You know, it's going to be great to have you on today, and I'm looking forward to what I'm sure be a very fast-paced conversation. But before we kind of dive into the main body of our topic, could you just give everyone a little bit more of an introduction in terms of who you are and what you do?
Sure. I'm Sunny Tara, founder and CEO of CareCognetics. CareCognetics is a digital health company. We are bringing casino loyalty principles and data science to create patient loyalty in healthcare through positive patient experience.
So what brought you into the healthcare field?
So Matt, I've been a technology executive in retail, casino, hospitality, and gaming industry for the better part of my career. I got into healthcare towards late 2010. As I witnessed a situation with a friend of mine who's a cardiologist, and it brought back memories that were very personal. I felt that no one should lose their loved ones because right help couldn't get there. I felt strongly that I could solve this issue as I had implemented a similar solution in a gaming industry, and I saw that there was a direct applicability in healthcare. So I decided to resign and start my first company to improve care coordination in a hospital setting. And today that solution is being used at about 30% or 40% of the hospitals in the U.S. CareCognetics is my second venture. Again, the common theme is what can healthcare learn from the casino and gaming industry?
So that's kind of an interesting, I think, industry to try and learn from. So as you're saying that, you know, that the healthcare can learn from the casino and gaming industry, I think it would probably be helpful, if you don't mind, to give everyone maybe a little bit of a background in terms of, you know, how that casino and gaming industry operates, because I suspect for a lot of us, it's, you know, our experience is just walking into a casino and seeing all the bright lights and the flashing lights and all the sound, and but also recognizing that there's a lot going on there to ensure that the customer in that case is engaged for almost nonstop, I would think, and to make it all a very seamless experience.
Yeah, you know, Matt, if you think about it, casino, you know, if has figured out a way to fly someone 1,000 miles, and even though, you know, you may lose a few thousand dollars, you can't really wait to come back. And they do that through providing a very positive customer experience. And here, you know, I find it ironic that in healthcare, we can't even bring a patient for a free annual wellness visit. And so why is that? So I think there is a lot that healthcare can learn from the casino industry in terms of providing a positive patient experience and making patients more proactive in their own health.
So is it kind of a model where you see it as a two-way interactive street?
Yeah, so I think if you look at it, I mean, you know, if you define what is patient experience, it's a really broad topic, and I think there's going to be several definitions that you can see out there. I feel Beryl Institute has done some very good work in this area. But I think, you know, if you're for patient experience, you know, context is very important. So if you are, let's say, in a hospital setting or in an urgent care situation, you know, experience by and large is very good. You know exactly what you're getting. But if you get into not so critical or urgent care, you know, we don't have as great an experience. And I think that's really where the opportunity is. So if something is transactional or urgent, I think we have it fairly well covered. But I think if something is more geared towards relationship, I think that's where there's big gaps in patient experience.
So you kind of referenced it in saying that there are multiple definitions of patient experience. So from your perspective, what is kind of the more meaningful or the most meaningful definition that you've seen?
You know, I think, and again, I feel that the context is very broad, but I feel another better way to answer that might be what is not a good patient experience. So recently, if you look at the statistics, you know, 44% of the people who had access to primary care chose to go to ER or urgent care. What could have been solved by a few hundred dollars, now someone's spending a few thousand dollars probably. You know, 60% of Americans have turned to internet to self-diagnose. 50% search for a new doctor online. So when you look at some of these statistics, you know, no one can argue that we are providing a very fractured patient experience. And, you know, there needs to be a better experience in healthcare for the patients.
So given that, as you said, there is a very fractured experience, again, from your perspective, what are some of the ways to begin creating a more cohesive, you know, easier to navigate experience? You're just saying that there is a fractured patient experience. So thinking about that, what are some of the best ways that, or maybe not the best ways, but just what are some of the ways that you think that that experience can be made more cohesive or just to operate more smoothly?
So I feel that a lot of physicians don't have the right tools to really manage patient experience. So if you look at any other industry, they can manage a customer experience because they have something called as CRM or CXM, which is a tool or technology that allows them to manage and take care of their customers. You know, healthcare, everything is centered around EHR. And EHR is very important for the viewers, it's electronic health records, but they are the system of record for your clinical, it's a system of record for all your clinical documents. But it's really not geared towards managing a patient experience. So for example, you know, the analogy would be, will any other industry use ERP system as their e-commerce system? And the answer is no, because you know, you may get inventory from your ERP system, but you would have an e-commerce system that is really designed to really take care of the commerce experience. So the similar thing applies in healthcare. Everything is geared around EHR. EHR provides a very important system, but it's not, you know, it's not adequate to provide and engage patients. It's not meant to be.
Yeah, no, and I think you're touching on probably just one of the many, you know, arguable deficiencies within an EMR or an EHR. It's, you know, I think as you just said, it's not even it's certainly not that great for patient experience. But I think a lot of physicians and other providers would probably also argue it's not great from their perspective as well, because it's not helping with their experience in terms of creating good quality interactions with their patients.
I would concur.
It kind of taking that to the next step, though, you know, it's recognizing that the tools that are in place right now maybe aren't the best in terms of driving good engagement. How would you like to see, you know, like an EMR reimagined, or, you know, what new tool would you like to see put into place to actually focus more on that good quality patient engagement and patient experience?
I think, and I feel that maybe I would not touch, you know, EHR or EMR. They're doing the industry as a whole has over the last, I would say 5 years have transitioned from paper to electronic records. And for the most part, I think it shouldn't be one size fits all in terms of you don't want one system that does everything. At some point, you will lose some capability and functionality. It'll take away from the clinical experience or being a central repository for all your documents. So I feel that here is where there is a need where you can create, just like other industries have now CXM, customer experience management, you know, healthcare can use a patient experience management that is really geared towards providing and managing the experience for the patients and providing physicians and other health systems ways to create a relationship and engage with their patients.
So if I'm understanding correctly, I think as you just said, it's not necessarily trying to touch the EHR, but to implement and develop other tools that are more geared or more tailored toward the experience perspective.
That is correct.
I mean, are you seeing any promise in terms of those types of tools being developed, or, you know, or maybe more pointedly, are you working on tools like that you would like to, you know, that are kind of, from your perspective, addressing and trying to move the ball forward?
Yes. So I think by and large, we feel that, you know, we're embarking in an area where there's been a gap. And so we've taken the approach. So Care Cognetics started 2 years back. And one of the things we wanted to do was take some of this hypothesis and say, if we were to apply, what kind of experience are we providing, a positive experience, what kind of results we can see. So we implemented a patient experience management tool that we provide, and we applied that towards value-based programs, because a lot of the value-based programs, in order for you to succeed, has to be very patient-centric. And so, you know, so a lot of what I'm talking about is not theory. You know, we've actually implemented in a few thousand chronic care patients, you know, managing Medicare lives, and we've seen some very dramatic results in terms of engaging Medicare population on a digital channels. So, you know, industry average is about 22%. We've seen our open rates at 75%. Industry average on response rate is 2%. We've seen greater than 50% response rates. So we are very encouraged to see, you know, the patients are really engaging. And it's not necessarily about the technology, but it's really about the value that is getting delivered through technology. So we're definitely seeing a very a positive, but we now really need to sort of scale this out at a much much larger footprint, and that's the focus for the company.
Right, and it kind of, as you just said, it's not necessarily that it's the technology, it's that you're actually demonstrating value. Because I think part of what you're describing of, you know, poor open rates and poor response rates, you know, that might not necessarily be restricted to healthcare. That might just be in general, because it's, you know, arguably the value and the importance of the message isn't being conveyed in the first place.
Yeah, and I think that is very true. And I feel that, you know, and I can give you a very similar story. So coming from the casino industry, you know, when we were trying to implement self-service kiosks back in early 2000, there was a lot of pushback saying that, you know, the population is much older, very much similar to the Medicare population, and they're not going to be they're never going to use this technology. But, you know, when we implemented it, the data showed very differently. People had a choice. They could stand in lines for 15, 20 minutes to get their coupons printed, or they could go to a self-service kiosk and print their coupons. And I think people made it was pretty apparent once they figured out the experience that it was it's much easier for them. And as a result, you know, their adoption was very high and the use was very high. And that's exactly what we wanted to see. We're seeing a very similar thing. A lot of times, you know, there's a myth that we say, oh, this is all the population, they're not going to really engage with us in digital channels. We are seeing very different results. And I think it all goes down to, or goes back down to, you know, the value that is being provided. Why should the patient invest their time in engaging us? If you're providing value, they'll engage with us. If you're not, they won't.
For those of you just joining, I'm talking with Sunny Tara from Care Cognetics. We've been talking patient experience, and you know, one of the last things you were just talking about, Sunny, which I think is very interesting, is, you know, talking about your experience in the gaming industry of introducing self-serve kiosks in the early 2000s and getting pushback because there was a feeling that a somewhat older user base might not be interested in it. It would almost seem like that argument is just a convenient excuse to not want to have to pursue this, or and maybe just out of hand rejecting a means of trying to improve the experience or improve the interactions because of potentially a fear of change. You know, so be interested in your thoughts in that direction.
Yeah, I feel that to be very true. So, for example, I feel that sometimes, you know, I think patient experience, by and large, in healthcare has traditionally not been addressed because you've got very, you know, there's not really much alternative. So I feel there is a lot of things that are very unique to the healthcare that doesn't apply to other industries. So, for example, you know, I can't think of any other industry today, given that we have such an on-demand and we are we're on demand and working in a sort of a real time where, you know, you could be endlessly waiting and not knowing when your time is going to come at a physician's office or, you know, not knowing. I mean, every other industry has figured out a way to engage with you. For example, even the airline industry has figured out to tell you when the flight is going to be delayed. Pretty much every airline today gives text updates to know if they're running behind or the flight is going to be delayed. So why can't, you know, physician's office institute a similar thing? You know, technology is there, but the intent isn't there. So either it's not convenient or easy for them to do that, or, you know, they haven't really thought of it. And I think now, as you know, patient experiences, as I think there has been a sort of a rise of consumerization of healthcare, rise of healthcare economy, consumer healthcare economy, I think you'll see that a lot of shift in focus is now changing towards patient experience.
So, and I think you're very accurate in terms of, you know, kind of describing that as different digital tools have arisen in other industries and created a more facile user interface that healthcare has lagged behind. So does that maybe put healthcare into a position of power because it can not have to go through some of the growing pains that other industries went through in terms of, you know, kind of iterating the technology, but can maybe more quickly get a technology into place that will be more readily usable as opposed to having some of the growing pains that others had?
Exactly, Matt. And I think this is the opportunity that healthcare has, and it's uniquely positioned that it can leapfrog. It can learn from some of the mistakes or learnings from other industries and leapfrog and implement a solution that is much more aligned to the needs of what healthcare needs.
And I'm very hopeful that that actually occurs because it's, you know, I think there is somewhat of a reputation in healthcare that it's just going to kind of slowly go in its own direction and not necessarily be responsive to outside pressures.
Yeah, I mean, I think traditionally, you know, it has been slow. And if you look at it, there hasn't been a reason to. Nobody pays for patient experience. There is no reimbursement for experience. And as a result, I mean, I think as, you know, there has been sort of reduction in reimbursements for physicians, they have to basically, you know, adjust by having, seeing more patients to make up for the loss of revenue collected from reimbursement, which is somewhat creating these more demand and maybe a longer wait times because there's more people than they're seeing twice as many patients or a lot more patients in the same time slot. So everyone's getting less time. And I think that is also contributing somewhat to what we're seeing today.
Yes, no, it would also seem to go back to kind of a point that you touched on briefly, which is, you know, I think you're right. In a fee-for-service system, there's definitely no benefit or payment to having these more, you know, these greater efficiencies or to necessarily putting the experience more front and center. But, you know, I think as you were mentioning a little bit ago, as we begin transitioning into more value-based care models, that gains in importance because if you can't maintain your patients and if you can't deliver high quality, highly efficient care, you know, then that's going to eat into what you can retain from the limited dollars that you were talking about.
Yeah, and I think absolutely. And I think as more and more value-based care, you know, as we transition from fee-for-service to value-based care, I think, you know, having solutions that are more patient-centric, solutions that engage patients and create that relationship is going to be very critical. And I think one area where that is very, very critical is managing, you know, chronic patient population. So if you have a very transactional relationship where you're seeing a physician once a year or once in 2 years, you know, patient experience may or may not be front and center for you. But if you're seeing a patient on a regular basis because you're actually have a chronic condition that requires you to see your doctor very frequently, then I think patient experience becomes very, very important. And you want to make it as easy for patients to engage with you. And that's going to be critical going forward.
Yes, and I think that kind of goes back to a point that you raised at the very beginning, which was talking about patient loyalty, because it's, you know, not just getting that engagement, but getting that patient to be really connected to engaging with the particular provider or with really the, you know, the whole practice of the provider. Because it, you know, I think it's really got to be a comprehensive interaction. You can't just try and think about one component, because, you know, if you would look at one element, if you only focus on one element of that full scope of interactions, you're going to be missing the broader picture, and you could be missing many other areas where you have opportunities to drive home that loyalty, or conversely, to push it away.
Very true, and I think that is how we actually look at it. So, in our mind, you know, the best way to describe patient experience, whether you're providing a positive experience or a negative experience, is through patient loyalty. And the reason is, you will never have, you know, a loyalty with any, if you think of loyalty, you will never have loyalty with a brand that does not do three things: does not engage with you, does not provide you a good experience, and something that you don't trust. So I think the reason why, you know, And you can look at it, any industry that has lost touch with their customer or have failed to provide this adequate service is probably not in existence. And I think healthcare is no different. So what has traditionally worked is, even though you have not a great patient experience, you're not engaging, but the patients really do trust their doctor. So I think that is one area where, if you look at, you know, do patients trust their insurance companies? The answer is no. Do they trust their employers? No. Who do they trust? They really trust their physicians. So I think that is really the key. And I think if they can provide the other two better experience and find it easy tools to engage their patients in what is relevant, then I think you can create a sense of loyalty. And that's really what we are trying to do.
And I think that is very true, because you often hear people talk about their doctor. They're not talking about, oh, it's this or that medical group. You know, you end up with that personal connection with the person who you're sharing very personal information with.
Yeah.
Just trying to, you know, keep thinking through that loyalty. You know, I don't know how this might touch into it, but you know, one of the things that I've heard when thinking about the transition in different models is, a lot of that discussion focuses on what can the physicians or the providers do, or the hospitals or the health insurance companies. But, you know, where does the patient fit into that discussion?
So I feel that, you know, one of the reasons, even if you take a look at, if you look at today, there's lots of these issues around, you know, integration of all the health records. And the question is, a lot of times it really isn't a question of technology, it becomes a governance issue. And, you know, who owns the patient record? Is it your primary care? Is it the hospital? Is it the pharmacist? And the answer, in my opinion, is the patient. I think patients ought to really control their health record, and we ought to make it easy. So one of the things that we do, you know, we've applied this program to a lot of value-based programs such as chronic care management, CCM, just to give an instance. And one of the things we've done is we've provided a care plan for each one of our patients. And, you know, care plan is not unique. I mean, everybody provides a care plan. It's one of the requirements for the CCM program. But a lot of people just provide a care plan, which is, you know, one way, it's a static, it's a PDF document, very hard to read and understand. And I think what we've done is we've taken the care plan and made it more interactive, added gamification. So it's a way to engage patients, to encourage them So there's a lot of elements, and we've seen that that's really drives the engagement and also the understanding. And one of the other things that I think was very critical is not to force everyone to use one path or technology. We make it so the way we can increase sort of adoption on the care plans is we make it easy so patients can engage them, not just on the app, but via email, via text, could you know, have a fax machine. And then the other thing is providing them with sort of a VIP host that you can pick up the phone and say, hey, can you fax this care plan to my specialist? So the whole idea is that that needs to be a very shareable document, and we want patients to be in control of managing their own health.
You know, and I think that's a very timely and thoughtful statement of, you know, really letting patients to have more of a direct role and back and forth and helping to manage their health. But believe it or not, we're already out of time. And I would like to thank my guest, Sunny Tara, for a great conversation today.
Thank you. Thank you, Matt.
And thank you to everyone listening. Keep the dialogue going and connect with me at hashtag HCDEJURE. I'm Matt Fisher. Until next time.